Amen. I'm glad I know who's the winner. Amen. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen. And take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 26, if you would. Thank you so much. The music has been wonderful this morning. I'm thankful that it's all about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope you know Him today. And if you don't, we'll give you an opportunity for you to know Him this morning. And the battle is still raging in some people's soul, even today. Some people don't know that they know that they know that they're on their way to heaven. What a sad place to be. I was one of those people for a long time in my life, and I came to a place in the fork in the road where I had to make a decision for Jesus Christ. I knew all about Him. I was raised in church, and I knew that Jesus had died on Calvary. I knew a lot of things about Him, and I was carrying them all up here, and I'd never made Him my own and made Him my own personal Savior. And boy, I remember a night that I walked down in a meeting not much different than this, and I came down the aisle and I went down and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, if I die today and I go to hell, it'll be Your fault, because I'm putting all my trust and my faith in Your finished work of Calvary, the resurrection. And getting, I tell you what, I can remember getting up that day and remember it wasn't me anymore. Amen. It wasn't me trying to work it out anymore. It wasn't me trying to work it up anymore. It was all now I had a heavenly Savior. I had someone else who had paid the sin debt, who had won the battle. Amen. I tried a lot. I remember as a young man, I had tried an awful lot to win the battle. And I failed day after day after day. But somebody came from heaven and won the battle for me. Amen. Amen. Went to the cross and paid for my sin, took the keys to death and hell and beat the devil down and went on and sits at the right hand, so that now today, when I need victory, when I need to speak to the Heavenly Father, I can go through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis 26, let me say this. I want to pray before we get started, but I don't know. I would say in fashion, I know somebody who would probably talk about the debate. And his name is Pastor Carter. Amen. And so I hope you weren't. I don't want to disappoint anybody this morning. Amen. Amen. And I'm not looking to skin anybody. I just want to make sure that you understand that we're in a battle, folks, this year. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, but I hope you realize the importance of not just voting and bringing people to church. That is important. That's why we're playing a key on this. But your vote is important. Your vote is going to be important in this next election. You say, don't make this thing all political. I'm just here to tell you, folks, I know who won the battle, but I know, just like my preacher said, it's going to matter a lot for the Christian on this side of heaven who wins this election. It's going to matter a lot for our church who wins this election. And I hope you'll go and cast your vote if you haven't already. Some people have, and I appreciate that. Just make sure you get out there and cast your vote for the book. Amen. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do that, I know who you're voting for. Do you know on our radio station, unworthy topic for some of you, but you know that they fact-checked all the words that came out of our president's mouth recently, and they have found that no other president in history has spoken more about God and Jesus Christ than President Trump. That was on our radio station this week. Now, I know he's not perfect. Men are men at best. We know that, all right? I know that he's just a man. And I'm not looking for him to fix everything, because there's one coming. His name is Jesus. It's going to fix it all. Amen. But he'll do till he gets here. Amen. And so if he comes for us in between, I'll be happy. If he comes before the election, if he comes before the message, we'll all be saved. Amen. Amen. But I just want you to understand today that there is a battle. There's a great, great battle. I want to preach a message today on just getting back to the basics. I think if there's anything that the Christians in America need today more than anything else, is to get back to the basics. If there's anything that the home needs, is getting back to Bible basics in their lives. If there's anything that we need desperately, I say in colleges and schools and everything across America. Listen, I'll just say this before I pray, and you may not like it. If they want to defund something, they need to defund the public college system out here, the state college. Anything that calls itself accredited today, I'm here to tell you, they take state money. If anybody needs to be fact-checked, it's the history classes in a college today. I've had students this year in our college who are older, who have been to college at secular universities, who are accredited. Listen, you want to know who's tearing down the statues? The kids that have been taught in our colleges. The ones that have been taught, I mean, damage done to their mind because of untruth that was taught in a history class like it was history. Had a young man this week tell me, I did not understand all the wonderful blessings in the history of our nation. He said, I've had three separate U.S. history classes in this life at secular colleges, and none of them teach it the way that Landmark Baptist College teaches it. None of them teach it in truth that these were men that loved the Lord, that loved God, and had a purpose for being in office and did things. I'm just here to tell you, folks, you say, I'm not trying to rip every college out there, and I know not all of them are bad, but I can say with certainty that the majority, if you want to know where America's going bad, America are sending their children off to be brainwashed to become socialist and communist in our colleges today. Amen and amen. That is what we're doing. And all in the name of education, and all in the name of accreditation, and all in the name of wisdom. And it's not God. Listen, wisdom comes from this book. And those places threw this book out a long time ago, and so they don't have much wisdom left. Amen and amen. America needs to get back to the basics. I want to go to the Bible story. I feel like it's Old Testament, Genesis chapter 26. America, homes, people, families, lives need to get back to the Bible basics. Now, Isaac here in Genesis chapter 26 has had a great example of someone who was the friend of God, someone who loved God, someone who walked with God, someone who had talked with God. Not always perfect, but Abraham, his father, had walked and talked with God, had made some mistakes in his life, but now we see Isaac making some of the same mistakes his father made. Lying about some things. Now, Abraham had told a half-truth. Can I remind you, folks, even though we live in 2020, where there's a bunch of lies being thrown everywhere, a half-truth still ain't the truth. It's still a lie. So Isaac is over there, but Isaac, he's watched his dad tell a half-truth, and now he tells a whole lie and tells him that his wife is his sister. And I mean, he's had some trouble here. He's in the wrong place, not where God sent him to be, not where he ought to be, but I'm here to tell you, he's going to make some decisions for God and get out of this situation. And in one verse, I want to just preach one verse today, but I want to, and again, I don't have a lot of time, but I want you to get this, that if we don't get to the place where we make a decision as a nation, even if we won an election, even if we did that, if we don't make purpose in our hearts, God's people don't purpose in their heart to go back to the basics of the Christian life and live for God, it will do no good, folks. Our job is to affect people and our families and those around us. I want to leave a legacy for people down the road to say that person lived for God, that family lived for God, that nation stood for God. Before I pray, let me say this. Do you know, we had a president at one time, and Pastor mentioned it not too long ago, did some reading this week. Do you know that our president of the past, won't name him, Obama. Anyway, so he said that our nation was not a Christian nation. Said that openly. Do you know, most of us don't know this. I didn't know this until I did some reading. Do you know in 1892 that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that we are a Christian nation? Listen, the Supreme Court, they like to say that that's the one that holds all the weight and everything. Well, when the Supreme Court had an atheist way back, folks, don't think that this stuff is new. Way back in 1892, it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that we are a Christian nation. Listen, I think we need to get back to the basics. What do you think? Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to meet with us. God, I beg you this morning that you just help me be your messenger boy. God, help me remove all of me and just have your Holy Spirit have his work. Use me as your vessel this morning, God. I pray again for my pastor. I thank you for him, God. I pray that you'd be with him and fill him with your power and your spirit as he gets ready to mount the pulpit so far away. God, I pray you'd bless him, give him safety to bring him back safely to us. God, I pray now here if there are any that are not saved in the building that today that your Holy Spirit would do the work that I can't can't do, that they would take your words from your word and go into the heart of the believer and the person that needs to believe and draw them, do the drawing work that I cannot do. All over the property, God, people are preaching the gospel. I pray today souls would be saved and lives would be changed. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis 26, if you'll look with me, we'll just read a couple verses. I've given you some of the history. Isaac now has gone away from God, got out of his will, done some lying, been down there with the Philistines. He's not where God wants him to be. And now God, he realizes, even through what I would say a Philistine that he tells him to go on, that he almost calls them as a group to sin. Now he goes back out away from their cities and he begins to do that sojourner that God called him to be, the builder of a nation from his father Abraham, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm trying to give you all the background. And as he comes to this place, Isaac begins to dig wells of his father again. Can I just say this? That if we're looking for truth, if we're looking for sustenance, if we're looking for the way to go forward, it is not to look to the future and brand new ideas and make up our own way or some kind of sin. It is to go back and dig the wells of water of the past of these United States. When people lived for God, when people lived holy lives, when people walked with God, when churches were big and packed, and that there were laws against, actually, listen, do you know there were laws, folks, even in my lifetime, that said you couldn't go out and eat on a Sunday in our country. There were laws that said that places and bars and all these other places couldn't be open on Sunday because it was a day that was holy, set for the Lord. Can I just say we've come a long way in the United States where we don't honor anything in especially not God. And if we are going to live for him, then we, as God's people, we need to get back to the basics. And Isaac finally comes to himself. He begins to dig the wells of his father. And then he gets to this place where he finally, listen, he strove. You understand what's going to happen? When we start going back and trying to dig up our history, just like the world is today, when we say something, they want to come in and smash it away. They're doing it on social media and everywhere else. You tell the truth, or you go back and dig the wells of the past and show them the fact. This is a fact, like 1892, that our nation was declared by the Supreme Court to be a Christian nation. You hold that up and they'll try to knock it down. They'll pull it off of social media. They won't report it like they used to. Listen, the world's going to take, just like in here, if you were to go back and read this chapter, we can't for time's sake, but they stole. He would dig a well and he'd think he had water. He'd think he had good ground. He'd think he was in a good place. And then they would come and they'd strive with him for it and take the well back. And he, you know what, folks, listen, I'm going to be honest. You know what he did? He did right. He kept digging wells. He kept digging wells. The problem, you say, well, why did they even let them stop the wells of the past up? Why did they let them cover up that water that was back then? Why did they cover those wells up? Listen, because they weren't using them. And if you want to know why that so many churches have closed and so many places have gotten away from God, is because they stopped using them. They went to the world, and that's just what Isaac had done. Isaac had gone and lived in the world for a while, and his flocks didn't need that water. They stayed right around the world and drank the world's water and drank all those things. And now Isaac is getting right with God and he's digging the wells of the past that his fathers had dug. He goes well after well after well. Finally, he gets to one called Rehoboth and they dig that one. And he names it Rehoboth because they didn't strive with him. But then God meets with him. I want you to see this. Look, so in verse 23, it says in chapter 26, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. I want you to notice this, and maybe you don't know this, but I just want you to... I gotta say it. Isaac had come home. Beersheba is where Isaac was raised, folks. Isaac has gone a long way and done a lot of things. He's married now, and now he comes back home. Can I tell you what'll help churches today? If the children that were raised in churches would just come back home and go back to the basics and raise their family like they were raised and go to God and say, God, I want you to be my God. I don't want to live off mom and dad's religion, but I want to live for you, and I want to have a personal relationship, and I want my kids to see us have a personal relationship together. Isaac come home, and he gets to this place, and he digs this well in verse 24, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake, and he built an altar there. Look at verse 25. This is where we're going to be at today. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. I'm going to preach in this area, but I want you to know this, that he goes to this place. God meets with Isaac once he goes home. Every once in a while you say, Brother Parsons, you're a long way from home. Yeah, I was a long way from home, but I can tell you there was a day in my life as a young married man that I decided for myself, boy, I had gone out. I was saved, folks. I'm going to tell you, I had gone. I didn't live for the world. I hadn't gone and done all the things the world had to offer, but I can tell you, I was not walking with God like I had once walked, but I made a decision that my children would never see me live that way. They'd never see me a day without the word of God. They'd never see me a day. I wanted to be raised. I wanted to go home back to the church. I was going to go back and plant my stake my tent in the church of the living God and grow my family there. Isaac realized that there were some blessings back in the land that God had called his father to, and he went home. And he digged a well there. And what, boy, when he had seen the water and there was provision, he didn't stop digging wells, folks. He dug a well and they stopped striving for it. Then he went a little bit farther, went back home. The flocks had a place now to drink, and now he goes a little bit farther and he meets with God that night. Can I just tell you what will help our nation if we got back to God? If we could go back home and back to a place to realize that we're a Christian nation and that we're a nation under God and seek the Holy One that took care of Israel, that really birthed this nation, that gave us every blessing that we currently have. If we could throw off the bonds of atheism, if we could throw off the bonds of all the man worship of our nation and just go back and worship and praise a holy God. That's what we need in America. That's what America needs more desperately than any election, more desperately than anything else. Hey, that's what the churches of America and the families and personally we need as people is to worship God and his holiness and just go back home the way it used to be when we first got saved and get ourselves cleaned up. Stop dabbling with the world and stop dabbling with all the things that take our attention away from him. I'm here to tell you, we live in a day and age, if we could just decide to go back home and seek after it. He did some things. First thing he did, people that want to go back home, people that want to go back to the basics, they go and build an altar to the Lord. They build a place that they can meet with God on a regular basis. This old altar that we have up here, it's a place that we have so that we can be altered. The Old Testament altar was a place of sacrifice, a place where things die, and it paid for sin for a certain amount of time. But in these New Testament times, we live in a day and age where somebody has already won the victory, as was sung earlier. He's already gone to the cross and paid for my sin. But now the New Testament age Christian, the altar in our lives, this is the temple. And the seat of my heart is where God should be enthroned. It's in this temple that I'm supposed to give sacrifices unto God. I want you to see something. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 with me. I don't have a lot of time. I'm preaching as fast as I can. I hope you're listening as fast as you can. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, I want you to see this in verse 8. And you know this one so you can catch up. Hebrews 13, 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, when we come home, when I went home in my life, I found the church still loved God. That the church still sang the same old songs. That the church was just as good as the day I left it, and it was still going on for God. Hey, encourage people around you and folks around you to go back to the basics. Encourage your children to go home. The church is still the same. It ought to be anyway. It ought to be sticking to the stuff. And here he says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Not with meats which have no profited them that have been, look at it, had been occupied there in verse 10. Look at it. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Look at verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. I want you to know that with us, we live in a New Testament day and age, and one of the reasons that we consistently get away from God is because we're a whole pack of complainers, and we're people that don't praise God like we ought to. If you want to go back in the Old Testament, and I almost preached on this, God's people that wandered around in the wilderness every minute of every day when God was taking care of them. He had brought them out of slavery. He had delivered them from Pharaoh. He had done everything that a good God could do. He fed them every day with rain and manna and doves out of heaven. And that same people are just like us in America who have been blessed and blessed and blessed. And we got more than any other nation in the world. But every day we wake up and we want more or something different. We can't wake up and say, God, you've been good to me another day. This altar is for me to wake up every morning and say, God, you're a good God. You sent your son to die for me. God, you're a good God. You I woke up and the power was still on. The air condition still worked. Breakfast is still in the refrigerator. We need to wake up and praise a holy God for who he is. And then for the testimony of who he is, we need to go out according to the scripture. And another sacrifice is to do good to people. Do you know, it doesn't say do good to people that deserve it. It doesn't say do good to people that earned it. If Jesus was here today, what do you think he'd go? He went about, according to the scripture, he went about doing good. He's my example. He's your example. Then it says to communicate. What better to communicate than when I'm praising God, saying he saved my never-dying soul. He took my place on Calvary. As a Christian, that is the sacrifices. That's the altar that we ought to worship at daily, praising God, to do good, to communicate. He called upon the name of the Lord. Can I just say quickly, for time's sake, that's praying to the Lord. If you're not saved here, the first time that God wants you to call out to him is to call out to him in salvation, saying, God, I believe that your son died on Calvary. He paid for my sins, and I believe that he rose again on the third day, and I want to put my faith and trust in him for salvation. That's what God wants you to do today if you don't know him. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved. But after that, God don't want to be the last time God wants to hear from us. He wants to call out every day. He wants us to call out in salvation, yes, but he also wants us to call out for wisdom. Why is it that we think we're so smart that we don't have to ask God for wisdom? Why is it that we think we're so smart that we can figure out all our own problems by ourselves? Why is it that we think we're so smart that we don't need God daily in our lives to help us steer and have a direction for our lives? Why is it? We need to call on him in prayer. We need to ask him for direction and vision. I don't know about you, but every one of us have a tomorrow. If Jesus tarries his coming, then tomorrow will come, and it may come with a president we don't want, and it may be a president we do want. But either way, if tomorrow shows up, I still need to live for a holy God. I still need to praise his name. I still need to serve him. I still need to do good. I still need to communicate, and I need to go on, and I need to ask him, God, give me a vision for today. God, give me a vision of what you want me to say, where you want me to go, and what you want me to do. I know it's his will for me to be a witness. I know it's his will for me to do good, but man, I want to know where he wants me to do it. I don't just want to be anywhere doing that. I want to be right where God wants me doing that. You say, Brother Parsons, God really directs like that? My God does. Amen. And then after I get a vision, I'm going to ask God for his provision. In the vision, I want to go to God and say, God, you've shown me what you want me to do. Now, God, will you help me do it? God, will you give me the strength? Will you give me the funds? Will you give me everything? God, will you just take care of me? I know where you want me to go. Now, God, provide every single need. So many times, if we can't see our already, before we get the vision, if we don't see all, faith is out the door, folks. The day and age of, and I know every one of you go think I'm crazy, all right? I'm just old enough. I'm just old school enough to be crazy, like old folks used to be crazy, amen? Do you know I was probably middle 20s before I didn't even know what insurance was. Now, if you ain't got it, something's wrong with you. We live in a day where we insure ourselves to death. Over here, we're saying, God, keep me healthy. Blue Cross and Blue Shield, take care of me if I'm not. Amen, Brother Parsons. That's where we live. That ain't popular anymore, especially when half the country or more want to have a national health care. That's socialism. That's this God in heaven is supposed to provide and take care of me and watch over me. And I'm supposed to work with these two things to take care of me too. Amen. And I ought to use that every once in a while. Amen. But that same God hears and answers prayer. I remember growing up in a day and age where you could go to God, and we heard of people, hundreds of thousands of dollars of medical bills, and they were preachers, and they would go to God, and God would fulfill their needs and take care of every one of their bills, and they would go paid because of God's people and because of a holy God that provided for them. But we have long left the idea of faith in a holy God to take and provide for every one of our needs. And it's not because that he failed. It's because we failed him to have faith in him and watch him do it. It's because we failed to ask him for it. Bible says that ask and ye shall receive. And I believe we went through a bunch of decades of people who just trusted in themselves and not in the Lord and didn't ask anymore and then blamed it on God. Amen. Boy, got quiet. He called upon the name of the Lord. That's old school. I told you I knew it was. But you know what he did? Then he wanted to, again, he went home. He built an altar, spiritual place. He called on the name of the Lord and asked God to help him in this place. Then he pitched a tent. Look at it here. It says, he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. He pitched a tent. Can I just say that in this life, if we're going to go back to the basics, we have to pursue God, number one. Number two, we got to pray. Number three, we got to find a place to set our tent stakes and park and participate in the work of God. We have got to decide if America's going to be changed, if I'm going to go back to the basics of every group of people throughout time. Even though I'm a pilgrim and a sojourner, once I find the place that God wants me, I need to throw it in park and drive my stakes deep and work for God in that place. Amen and amen, Brother Parsons. He pitched his tent. Can I just say, even as a sojourner, he did this. He drove his stakes deep. That's faithfulness. Do you realize that even in the Christian life, storms will come? Amen. Amen? We like to be fly-by-night people. We like the idea of pilgrims, hop here and hop there. But God wants us to get someplace and stay. And once we know it's his place, then stay and stick and work and dig and hold on through the storms and help. God wants us to be that way. He wants us to, I want to drive my stake into the rock of my salvation. Listen, can we say it just like this? I don't have time to preach on this, but Jesus is the rock. Amen. And I'm not going to build on the sand. I don't want the storms of life to wash me away or to wash away my home or my family and the things. I want to build upon the rock of my salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to drive tent stakes deep in the Word of God. I don't want to just hear and say amen. I want to read it for myself in the Word of God. I want to be able to say amen. And that means let it be so, preacher. I want to say amen because I've read it in the book and he's preaching it straight, amen. I want to drive my stake deep, not only into the Word of God, but in holy living, separating from a world that has gone astray from a holy God. Even in a country, I want to drive my stake deep into the local church where God has given his life for the local church, that he's coming back for the local church. The place he chose to work through and bless is the local church. I'm going to drive my tent stakes deep. Listen, if we're going to go back to the basics, we have got to throw it in park and participate, folks. Number four, he dug a well. You say, well, he didn't dig a well, he had servants. You know, that was the blessings of Abraham. I don't see anywhere where Isaac has gone around and bought some servants or had servants. There was a bunch of servants born in the house, and even the blessings of God, he had said, for your father's sake, for Abraham's sake, I'm going to bless you. and I'm going to do and complete some things that I promised your dad. Do you know that our nation, even today, is riding on the blessings of folks in days gone by? I realize this, that God has not poured out his wrath upon our nation yet, because generations of people that before us loved him and served him and went after him. And even on our inception, we were a Christian nation. And here he has his servants. And listen, blessings. He digs another well. And when they find water and they dig this thing up, you know that he's drinking of this water. But you know what's going to happen? That's already in the background. We didn't read this. I didn't have time. But you know, by the time they get here, there are two little boys. There are two little guys, Jacob and Esau. They're going to split this nation apart. They're going to split this family, and they're going to do some things. But you know, every one of them, those two guys are watching what their daddy's doing when he's getting right with God, getting back to the basics. And down the road, I want you to say, you know, a well is important for the flocks to be served. Water is, I mean, it's the majority of our body. We have to have water, folks. And they dug water one more time. You know what's going to happen when Jacob goes and finds a wife and he comes back to the land? Now, this is Beersheba, and I know it's a lot farther south. But as Jacob starts to serve the Lord, and when he gets right with God, he digs a well in a place. Amen? Like, out, it's Old Testament Shechem. He finds a place. It's John chapter 4. It's right there in Samaria. And that well, there's going to be an interaction that happens by that well. And it's going to be this lady that comes out of Samaria, and Jesus is going to meet her at that well in John chapter 4. And she's going to be pulling water like they had for generations. And then the life giver shows up. And he says, if you knew who I was, you'd ask water of me. He said, if you knew who I was, can I just tell you, folks, we're living in a day and age where we know who Jesus is, and we should be asking water of him. We should be telling people that they can trust him. Our lives, we should get back to the basics where our lives show others outside of this place that they can trust him. You say, Brother Parsons, was it a big day? I think it was a big day for that lady. It was a big day when Jesus Christ showed up by that well of water, and she says, are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well? And I'm here to tell you, Jesus, he gave her living water that day. When I got saved that day, I came down the altar. Can I tell you what I received? Living water. And the well hadn't dried up since. You say, Brother Parsons, what do I need to do? Maybe you need to dig your well. Maybe your well, there's water still there, but maybe you filled it in with all kinds of stuff of the world. Maybe some things have gotten in the way and the water ain't flowing like it used to. You don't feel like you can get at the water of life like you did. Listen, salvation doesn't ever go away, folks, but the joy of our salvation does. We get away from God. Say, well, Brother Parsons, I've never even had this water of life. I've never even come to God in salvation. I don't even know what it's like to be saved. Then listen, this is what I counsel you to do. When we have our invitation, you step out an aisle and come to the front, and I'll meet you down here, and I'll take your hand, and I'll show you one of these folks that can take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and know it. You can receive that living water that's preached, that's talked about. Listen, folks, we desperately need to get back to the basics. 100 years ago, everybody knew the answer for America was Jesus Christ. Today, if we took a poll, an honest poll, what kind of percentage do you think would know that Jesus is the answer for everything in this life? Not many. Hey, what would you answer if somebody asked you if Jesus was the answer for everything? As a believer, he ought to be the answer for everything in your life. Everything. Say, Brother Parsons, is God going to take care of me? If you trust him. I believe this. God doesn't change every outcome. There are folks I know that I love who will die in this body because of sin and go on to be in with the Lord. But that wasn't God that did it. That was sin that passed upon all men. But I know a holy God who would redeem this group of people and the whole world, sent his son to die on Calvary to redeem us. Not the body yet,
but the spirit and soul of a man to redeem us back into himself. And one day he'll return for this whole body. There'll still be things. There'll still be hurts. There'll still be aches. There'll still be pain until Jesus comes and takes us home to be with him or we pass away. But I can tell you this, since I've accepted him as my Savior, on the inside, this body still aches, this body still has pains, but in my heart I have joy because I know who the answer truly is. I know the one that can give peace and can give joy. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to pray. The pianist is on her way. Brother Bert's going to sing a song of invitation. Before I pray, with heads bowed and eyes closed, before I ask God to bless us this morning at the end of our service, if you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, don't know if you died today that you'd go to heaven, would you slip your hand up and say, Brother Parsons, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that. I want to pray for you. If you're here and you're like that, you'd slip your hand up and say, Brother Parsons, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there a hand anywhere in the building this morning? One anywhere? All right. Dear God, you know the hearts and the people in the building. If there's one that needs to be saved, God, I know they may have been hesitant to raise their hand, but I pray that one of our people, if they know it's somebody that they brought, would you give them courage to go to them this morning and help them? God, if there's someone in the building that doesn't know Christ, give them the courage to step out and walk the aisle this morning. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am without one plea, the vast thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me.
The Lord is speaking to your heart. You can step out and come.
Have come this morning. Maybe God spoke to your heart and you need to step out. Maybe move a membership. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to come and be saved. Come to the Lord in salvation. We're going to sing again and give you an opportunity to step out. Don't wait another verse. I had a father who waited, said that most miserable days he spent of his life. He came to church on Sunday morning, heard the preacher preach of salvation, and gripped the pew and stayed in the aisle and stayed there that whole time. But then, on Thursday night, he thanked the Lord that one of our good men of the church came by and gave the gospel to him. He said, you talk about the most miserable days of my life. I knew I was on my way to hell, but I didn't know how to fix it. I didn't know who to call upon. So listen, on this next verse, as Brother Bert sings, if God's spoken to your heart, you know you need to be saved, would you step out and come do business with God this morning? Brother Bert.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and
thank you so much. We're going to give you...